Welcome to Unleash Your Courage. I'm your host, Angela Schroeder. Whether you're listening live on Turfs Up Radio or with us here on Facebook or listening by recording, we are glad you're here. And so excited to have Danny on with me here today. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Angela. I'm pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Especially after that drum music, man. Now I'm really pumped.
Sometimes on Dan's show, I was saying, Dan Plata's show, we're still in the background when the music is playing and I always dance, but you don't get to see my dancing since there's actually video to the music.
Yeah, I danced.
But dancing in the background. Yeah. Well, I met Danny in this last year and I think you were one of the very first people I met. We're in a mastermind together quarterly in Nashville and one of the very first people I met there and gotten to spend time with you then quarterly. And just love all the stuff you're doing. So exciting to learn more of your story today. So yeah. As we kick off, I'm just going to have you share with the audience a little bit about you.
Sure. So I once in previous life, so I was a PE teacher and I loved it. It was a great job. I loved the day to day. I liked everything about it, but I also always knew that I wanted to start my own thing. I'd been around entrepreneurship as a child. My grandfather started and ran businesses. My dad ran a business when I was a kid. That was his job. You know, he owned a air conditioning heating company. And so it was never weird to me that people would do that, that you would own your own business or run your own business, right? Like that's just an option when you're looking at careers later in life. Yeah. So I just kind of knew that I wanted to do something with that. I just didn't really know what. But what I did know is that I have a passion for fitness and helping people, you know, feel good and know what it's like to actually feel good. And I'm good in front of groups of people. And so teaching kind of fit that niche. Plus, I was coaching wrestling and there's not a lot of jobs where you can just leave at 2:30 to go to practice. So teaching was perfect. Then while I was teaching PE, I met another PE teacher who had just started this gym and he was really struggling. He had kind of an absentee business partner and he needed someone to kind of help him out with that, right? Because he had a couple kids at home and he was doing this thing. And so I joined up with him and basically bought out his partner who wasn't really doing much there and started kind of down that path. And so that was my first kind of entrepreneurial journey or things with the gym. Fast forward 2008. Fast forward 5 years, 2013. We had a baby and seemed like a good time. And so we, good time to do more stuff. Anyway, and then around that time as well, I had someone else reach out to me about, you know, just hosting this event. He wanted to host this big, you know, weightlifting competition and get some previous Olympians together for it and that type of thing. And he knew that I had some connections that could kind of help out with that. And as we started pursuing this idea and going down that path, we realized it was much more than just that one day event. And then in fact, that one day event was going to be a launch party for this brand. And that's how Caffeine and Kilos started. So Caffeine and Kilos, we started in the summer of 2013, hosted the Invitational. We had this great weightlifting meet. We had a dozen of the best weightlifters from all around the country, Olympic hopefuls. I think maybe had an Olympian that year that came out and competed. We gave away cash prize, which is kind of unheard of in the sport at that time, especially. We had a big crowd. And it was a great time, great event. And actually through that, we actually started selling some shirts and some coffee before the event even started because we sent them out to some of the competitors and some other people and they liked them or promoting it and stuff like that. And so we said, oh man, I guess this is a real business here. So we spun up a website, started selling them online and actually, yeah, started selling kind of the event merch before the event happened. And then from there, just took off. In the next first year in business, I think we did over 600K. And then in the first calendar year, we did over $1 million in sales. So, oh, well, maybe we're onto something here. Right. And so then it was, so it was time to quit teaching as much as I loved it. It's just, you know, with the baby at home, I was burning the candle at both ends, you know, I was getting up and working from, you know, 4:30 or 5 in the morning up until 7. And then I was going and teaching PE all day and coaching wrestling. And then I'd come home, you know, basically
and running a business. I mean,
yeah. And then come home and, you know, once the, and my wife works as well, she's a nurse. And so, you know, the, if she was working that night, then I'm on dad duty. And then, you know, as soon as the kid's in bed, then I would work more, you know, from 8 o'clock at night until 10 or 10:30. And that was the daily routine, right? So working for, you know, 2.5 hours before work, and then 2.5 hours after, you know, I put the baby down to sleep. And that's not really a recipe, a long-term recipe for, you know, goal number one, which is staying married, and then goal number two, just like being happy and that type of thing. So I went down to a part-time teaching job for 1 year while we kind of stabilized. So we're just rolling all the revenue back in the business. So then once we kind of stabilized and actually were taking a steady income during that year, and then I stepped away from teaching entirely. So that was in, I think, 2014, 14, 15. And so then since then until now, it's just been the full-time business. So the gym is still cranking along in year 15 now. Caffeine Kilos, we're actually hitting year 10 this year. And then I have some various kind of, you know, investments or advisory roles in some other businesses as well.
Wow. I love hearing, I say this all the time, but you know, you meet people, we become connected, we have lots of great conversations, and it is often so, you know, future oriented. We're talking about what's going on now, the victories, struggles now, and where we're going and what's next, which we'll talk about as well. But I love the little nuggets when I dive in to people's stories here. And even in the introduction, I'm like, how did I not ask you about that?
How
did I not know that? As I'm drinking the coffee at the Huge, I didn't realize the story of how you got started.
Yeah. It's been a pretty wild ride, but it's been a good time.
So that started less on purpose. I don't know if I want to start with the gym first. Maybe then I'll go into caffeine and kilos. But I love that you said you always knew it was on your heart. It wasn't strange, the idea of owning a business, because you know you'd had that and just really had that itch and burning desire to do that. And I think that's in a lot of people. And then it's interesting the industries and the things that we end up in, right. Of like when the opportunities present themselves at a time, and certainly aligned with, you know, what you're passionate about as well. But you know, sometimes we accidentally fall into it at the right time, which seems like, you know, partly that is the case with the gym. So what was it like in those first years, you know, making that decision to jump in, and you're in a partnership? How well did you know that person? Tell me a little bit about that. Was it just, you know, going into a business partnership is like going into a marriage.
Oh, dude, this is like a marriage after the third date, or like a Vegas wedding. We didn't really know him that well at all. Actually, how it kind of went down is someone introduced me to, I was working at this gym. And then a guy who was just going to this gym I was working at, was like, "Hey man, you should try this CrossFit thing." So I started doing it and I was like, "Oh, this is great. This is for sure the best way to get in shape." And so then I start looking, I'm like, "Oh, I wonder if there's a local gym around here." And this was 2008. It was still very much like a growing thing, right? It's still pretty new.
Okay.
Not really well known or popular at all at that time. And so there's one that had just started in a town that was, you know, 15, 20 minutes away. So I hit him up and he's like, "Yeah, man, come on out and work out." And he happened to be the guy that opened it was a PE teacher in the same school district, at a different school, but the same district that I was in. So we had that in common. So I know the guy's a teacher. I know that, you know, there's some things going on there. Mm-hmm. And so I go out, we work out together, we start talking, hit it off. And then as we're kind of talking about it, you know, he's kind of looking at me, and I was knowledgeable with this type of thing and had done, you know, worked in gyms and done, you know, personal training and group classes, checked all the boxes of someone who would be into this. And so he just kind of asked me, he's like, "Look, man, like, here's the deal. Like, I got kids and I'm coaching all of our classes and I'm doing everything for this gym." And the guy who's supposed to be my business partner basically, you know, put in some money and then hasn't done anything. And I'm not upset with him, but I want to still be his friend later. And so he's got to go if we're going to, if we're gonna not hate each other, you know. He's like, and he's down. He totally gets it. Like he's on board with this. And so he's, you know, that was kind of the pitch. Like, how do you want in? Do you want to be a part of this? And I was like, yes, I do. Like that was pretty much that. And as far as the, you know, I mean, monetarily, it was a pretty, you know, pretty good deal. To be honest, I don't even remember exactly how much I paid to buy the guy out, but it was like not a lot of money. Like hindsight, as far as like investments and time and stuff, I think from the gym, every 2 months I income as much or more than I originally paid in to buy the gym. Right.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so it seemed like a no brainer. And my wife, you know, I talked to her about it, but she was on board. She always has been for whatever reason, just believes in me, or I think that she just has this belief that, I'll figure it out. Right. As long as it's not going to be too big of a strain on us or whatever. So yes, that's kind of how that started, how that went down. And then the timing of things, right? Like if I would have gone out there a month earlier, you probably wouldn't have been in that same situation, or a month later, yes, maybe someone else would have, you know, got there, just the timing lined up. And then also then I think it was, you know, 6 months or so after that, the lease was up and they needed a different spot. We needed more space. And so we're looking around, and in that little town that was 15 or 20 minutes away, there was nowhere. Like there wasn't anywhere that was available. However, in the town that I grew up in, there was some spots that we could move into. And so, you know, I go in there, I become partners with Nick, and then and this guy Terry kind of actually had a ton of business experience, and he came in at the same time. Like it ended up being, he got in the conversations. We ended up going three ways, and it worked out great. So we split it in thirds. So we had the original founder who started out, it started just by working out in his garage, and his neighbors wanted to join him, and then he needed to buy more equipment. So he's like, well, shit, I should probably start charging him. And then myself, who have, again, just, you know, just experience in general around business ownership and really understand the gym business. And then Terry, who has, you know, hands-on experience running different businesses for years. So the three of us did that. And we ended up moving to the town that I grew up in, you know, those 15 minutes away, about 9 months later. And that's a much larger town as well. And that's when it really kind of took off and started growing. And then fast forward to a couple years after Caffeine and Tequila started, 2015 or so, both those guys actually stepped away from the business, for different reasons, and which was totally fine. Like we're all still friends. And it kind of worked out. We actually had a head coach who we were talking about having him buy in at a small percentage to kind of, mm-hmm. You know, he did a lot for us. And so the two other guys decided, for again, their own individual reasons, or what happened is one of the guys said he wanted to step away. And then, so then me and the other partner were talking about it. What do we want to do? And that type of thing. The other guy decided, like, you know what? I'm just going to go too.
I'm done too.
Yeah. He was a little bit, he actually went to school with my parents. He's a little bit older. And he, what kind of happened is he had a friend who just had a stroke and died. And he's like, you know what, man? At this point in my life, I just don't want to do anything that I don't want to do. And when you run a business, that's not an option. That. You got to do shit, even if you don't want to sometimes. And so I don't want that. Like, that's not how I want my life to be. And so I'd rather just get out of this and not do it. And just, you know, he was still working and retired altogether, but, you know, just work a job, just kind of clocks in and clocks out and doesn't have the stresses or doesn't have these, you know, these kind of not in a position where he has to do stuff he doesn't want to, which I totally respect. So yeah, so those two guys left, and then that other head coach came on as my other partner. And so now it's me and him, and we've been running it together now, since for the last 8 years or whatever.
Awesome. That is quite the journey in different, you know, different types of partnerships. I love that you said it was like getting married after the third date.
Oh yeah. I think we had a total of like five conversations, you know, when you asked if I was interested. I'm like, yeah, dude, how do I pay?
And I think that's true of a lot of entrepreneurs and getting into business. And a lot of times people do go into partnerships because something becomes available. Some, you know, somebody wants a partner or a partner selling, kind of like in your situation, and it opens a great door. You had, you know, a door to business ownership, and I've been in those situations too. It's like, you're just looking at, it's great to look back at the success story. It all worked out for you.
Yeah, right.
But we often just look at that point of entry, like the investment, like, hey, this is going to work. This seems like a good idea. And in reality, like it is such like a marriage, and the relationship part can certainly be the biggest thing that goes south in a business partnership if there isn't all the things and you don't gel. And it sounds like you were, you know, really fortunate in those situations. Well,
there's times, don't get me wrong, like in every business relationship, there's been times where, you know, there's this big blowout or an argument or, you know, but then it's again, a lot like a marriage, is you kind of learn people's personalities and what makes people tick and what makes people tick and what ticks people off. Right. And so that, you know, and then you kind of, you work with that and you learn those things. And, you know, I had a lesson that I've kind of learned with that. And I had to learn this lesson because the personality of two of my business partners in separate businesses, actually. But it's been a lesson that I've carried on to lots of life. Is, you know, so you have this idea and like you think about, you're obsessed with this idea and you're thinking about it all the time, right? For like, you know, a whole like 1 or 2 days straight. It's like all you're thinking about. And you're working through the details. You're like, oh shit, I know how I'm gonna make this work. I got it. I got the plan. I got it all figured out. And then you go and you tell your business partner about it, and they're just like not very excited. They're like, oh, what do you like, why? Like, how's that gonna work? And you're sitting there and you're starting to get a little frustrated. She's like, well, how's it not obvious? Like, it's obvious how it's going to work. Well, it's obvious to you because you've been thinking about it for the last 48 hours. This person's been thinking about it for 3 minutes. You know, like, of course they have questions. Of course it doesn't seem obvious. Of course they, you know, haven't worked through all the details or, you know, so they've only been thinking about it for 3 minutes. You've been thinking about it for 48 hours. So certain people handle that better as far as like the hearing it for the first time. Like some people are really, you know, excited and open to new ideas and more of like questioning to explore. Other people initially, you know, might be a lot more hesitant. And okay, you may feel as though their questions aren't to explore, but to poke holes or to tell you why it's not.
Doubt.
Yeah, to doubt. And but that may not be the case. That just might be your interpretation because the way someone carries themselves or the way they ask questions or the way whatever, they may come off, you know, as they're being, you know, as they're trying to fight about it or something. And really they're just asking questions. And so I've really learned to like, all right, like when you've got a new idea, you know, when you present it to somebody, like you got to give them time with it and let them sit with it and don't take, you know, and even if they do seem like they might be, you know, I don't want to say aggressively asking questions about it, but if they seem like they're trying to, you know, contradict everything you're talking about or doing, just relax, man. Like, just let them sit with it. Let them have the, you know, let them kind of go through it and work through it and just like answer their questions and don't get, you know, can't be personally offended by somebody asking questions about what your thoughts are, you know?
Exactly. Well, we're going to dive more into that because that is interesting perspective in business owners. And I think it probably has a lot to do with like visionary.
We dive into that after a break.
After our break. We'll be right back.
Creating art from darkness. For over 20 years, Cast Lighting has designed and manufactured the world's most durable, energy efficient, and technically advanced landscape lighting products available at astonishingly affordable prices. Cast offers an all-encompassing line of products with everything you need to get the job done. Cast Landscape, their most durable product, is best-in-class, low-voltage landscape lighting made of solid bronze with integrated and drop-in LED technology. These fixtures are built to endure the most demanding environments. Source Lighting, a new division by Cast, is your source for professional grand landscape lighting made of durable brass, offering both integrated and drop-in LED technology and backed by Cast, the world's most durable outdoor lighting. Cast Lighting gives you innovative, state-of-the-art, old-world craftsmanship with tomorrow's technology. Visit their website at cast-lighting.com today. That's cast-lighting.com.
From the East Coast to the West Coast and around the world, no one rocks like Turfs Up Radio. Turfs Up Radio, your industry, your station.
Cool. Cress is leading the transition from gas-powered lawn equipment for professional operations with the introduction of the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in battery-powered OPE. With the Cress 8-Minute Cyber System, professional landscapers can now replace their messy gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. The 8-Minute Cyber System allows for Cress-made 60-volt batteries to fully charge in 8 minutes or less, just enough time for a water break. Complemented by a full line of equipment benchmarked against gas-powered products, landscapers can finally take charge of their business and make the switch to battery. For more information, visit Cress.com. Visit Cress.com. Having issues with your maintenance schedule? Want better routing and ability to track your vehicles when they leave the shop? Do you want to reduce your liability exposure with your vehicles that are moving billboards on the road? GPS Fleet Consulting uses cloud-based dash cam monitoring and can easily track your vehicle maintenance using real odometer readings. GPS Fleet Consulting can also assist you with live phone support and email support with guaranteed same-day responses. Yes, same-day responses. Stop wondering where your trucks are and start managing your fleet with GPS Fleet Management Systems. For more information, visit gpsfleetconsulting.com. That's gpsfleetconsulting.com.
And we're back. If those of you joining us on Facebook, make sure you register with StreamYard and leave us a comment if you're here. Ask some questions. Give us a little heckling. Okay, so one comment I wanted to revisit. I'm always taking notes, like I can't play back my video or something. But I love that one of your business partners in the beginning, I just wrote that down and started, of like, I don't want to do what I don't want to do. I mean, he obviously had a life awakening moment of having a friend have a stroke of life's too short, what life I have left. I don't want to be doing what I don't want to do. And so many times as business owners, you know, we don't get that decision. We've got to put in the grind and do things. But it is worth an evaluation as we enter the fourth quarter here and all the times in life of that's what leads to burnout and being unhappy. Once something, whether it be something big like that and owning this business or doing roles in your business or commitments that you've gotten yourself into, once something becomes something you don't want to do, you have to evaluate and, you know, make some shifts in life.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's, you know, one thing that talk about when I stopped teaching and really kind of got into the business full time is one thing I said is like, well, I guess I need to figure out like what the fuck I'm doing. And so I started reading a lot more, right? Started buying business books and reading things. And also with my, even before I'd stopped teaching, just like the working early in the morning and late at night and all that, I'm like, well, I got to figure out how to structure my days. I got to figure out how to be more productive. I need to figure out what I'm doing, get the most, you know, use of my time. And so I started reading, and then I hired a business coach, you know, and that makes such a big difference. Like, hey, who's been here before? Who can help me along this path? Mm. And so that business coach that I hired had some different frameworks for stuff. Right. And one of them is interesting. It's actually one of the same frameworks we use in the AMP group, which is the, you know, delegate, eliminate, automate type of a thing. Mm-hmm. Except Craig also has a fourth quadrant, which he said, which is accelerate, right? So, you know, that's something that at times for sure, right? You do stuff you don't want to do as a business owner. It's like part of the job. Like somebody's got to do it, right? But then you can also, once you've gone down that path a little bit, you can, okay, take a step back and you look at, you know, everything you did that day and everything that you just do in your job. And like, what activities give you energy? Which of those activities do you enjoy, right? Mm-hmm. And which of these activities drain your energy? Like, which ones are you procrastinating on? Are you probably doing a pretty shitty job on anyway? Do you dread doing, right? Like those things. And then you take those tasks that, you know, are taking energy from you, that are a drain on you, that you don't like doing. And you then, okay, what box do they go in? Can I delegate it to somebody else? Can I automate it, you know, through technology? Or can I just eliminate it? Maybe no one needs to be doing it, right? And then once you kind of go through that, then you can look at that at those three quadrants. And okay, so you have the, your, you know, the three or four things that you're not going to be doing because they fit in one of those quadrants. And then you can look at that fourth quadrant that says accelerate, and you say, okay, now what tasks or what activities can I do more of, or can I get more of, like, of those activities that give me energy, like, what, now that I just freed up this time by going through the delegate, automate, eliminate, now what can I accelerate? What can I do more of, or what, where's my time best spent? And people also do the same thing. You can break it down instead of just by like kind of what gives me energy, what's draining is, you can also go a more, if some people like the more practical route, if they like numbers more, is, you know, you say, okay, what is my highest value activities? Like, what activities do I make the most, the highest dollars per hour? What activities am I making the lowest dollars per hour? And then you take those, the five bottom activities that you're getting the lowest return on your time from, and you put those in that matrix, that delegate, eliminate, automate, or accelerate matrix. And you can just get rid of those, you know, or those three areas. And then you say, okay, now what are the top two or three things where I make the most dollars per hour? And then how can I fit those in that accelerate? How can I do more of that or faster with it? Right. So there's kind of two ways to look at that. And really, you could do it both ways. I don't think that only one way works, or that anyone can only do it one way. I think it's probably worth it to do it twice, do it once on a time money situation, and then once on a energy enjoyment situation. And then it's also interesting to look at that and say, okay, now which, you know, do these line up? And most often they do. Most often the things that are exciting and you have a good time doing are going to be your highest value tasks, you know, and the opposite is going to be true as well.
I love that. I hadn't heard that whole fourth matrix. Like you said, in AMP, we use the one with the three, and it aligns so well with, I mean, this is going to be a huge takeaway just for me. I'm like, oh, where am I implementing this with clients? Because right. I talk a lot about in the virtual assistant business, that delegating, and we have people do an exercise. And I did this in coaching before I started the virtual assistant business, something that I learned and started early on. I call it unique genius exercise, and it aligns just exactly with that. You keep a task list of everything that you do for a couple of days or a week, and then circle it. And that's your first one. If it is energy giving, if it gives you energy versus sucking your energy, and then you like star it if it is in your strength zone. It's something that you do well that is a valuable for your time. And then I have a third one of, does it align with your mission, vision, and getting you closer to your goals?
Right.
Because it really needs to fit in all those boxes. Most of the time they align, things that we're good at bring us value. But sometimes we just do things that we're good at to do them or value add, and somebody else could be doing it and it's not getting us close to our goals, or we hate doing it. Sometimes we hate doing the things we're good at.
I
love that perspective of then taking those things through all those filters and using the box of, and especially with the accelerate, like, what am I going to put now that I have extra time, now that I got rid of all the other things, what am I going to pour gas on?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it.
So I love that. Expect to be seeing a lot of that, Danny. I'll be sure and give you credit.
We'll give it to Craig Ballantyne. That's his fourth box in that matrix there. But you know how it goes with quotes and different things like that, is you got to give credit three times. And then after that, you can just keep it as your own. So I'll give, that's the first time I've actually talked about that specific thing, I think, in an interview. Anyway, so I gave Craig credit. So I owe him two more. And then after that, I'm just going to keep it.
There you go. And I'm giving it to you because you taught it.
Hell yeah. I'll take it. That's right.
Put Danny on the website when you're now on the website and all the materials to clients.
Yeah. Make sure you really type the whole thing out so it'll get picked up SEO also. I'll get on like,
okay.
Quotes.
Yes. We'll put your name all over it. Okay. Oh, I love that. But that is a huge takeaway. Going back to, there's so many things because I still want to dive into caffeine and kilo and the start of that and how that's all going, because that's incredible that it started from an event. But you were going into the what if questions, and I love talking about that as well when you were saying it, it made me think more of visionary integrator, that, you know, if you shared your ideas with another visionary, their eyes open. And yeah, the what if is curious and like, yeah, what if we did more? What if you did 10x that? And integrators are just a little bit below that of enthusiasm. They're the practical, like, okay, how are we going to do it? Like, how are we going to do it in that time zone? Let's make a plan. And then there's the people that we share our ideas with that are outside business ownership. And there's nothing wrong with people that are outside business. Like, that's not their skill set. But
right. When
you're sharing with people that are not entrepreneurs and you share those ideas, then it really starts like a what if questions that are sort of in a negative spiral that make you completely doubt your, you know, not just poke holes in right. The idea of like, how are we going to carry out this process, but make you feel crazy. Was your business partner that asked, I'm gathering one of your business partners asked more what if questions, wanting to know the process. So was that the integrator in the group?
No, not really. Yeah, interesting. You know what it was? It was the person in the group had the least amount of experience running his own business, I think. Right. Okay. Like, still pretty new. And actually, anyway, now currently it's much better with it. Also, part of it's me, right? Like, you gotta understand also, like, you know, like I said, I've been thinking about this for 2 or 3 days. Yeah. This person thinking about it for 2 or 3 minutes. You can't expect them to have the same understanding. And you know what? If we don't talk about it again and come back to it in two days from now, it'd be interesting to see. I bet that we would be on the same page or have similar ideas, right? And so as much as anything, it's kind of a you know, understanding that people one are maybe more excited about things than others, like, you know, as far as like new ideas can hit people different ways. Some people get really excited with new ideas. Yeah. Some people might get scared with new ideas. Some people might, whatever. Some people are neither excited or scared. They just need some time to process that shit, you know? And so that's where
it's some time to process that.
That's it, you know? And so that was really the biggest takeaway from that. It's not as much that the other person was overtly negative. It was just, they just need a little more time to kind of work through the details. And so then it was on me, like, oh, I actually need to understand that. One thing I did that, or I've done since then that's been really helpful is now when I have something, is I actually try not to flesh out ideas too far, because what I tend to do, and I think others do as well, is, okay, so you have this new idea and so you start thinking about it. And if you're a solopreneur, if you're the only one, then whatever, go for it, man. But if you work on a team, the simple fact is every single time I've brought an idea to the whole group and we brainstorm it together as a whole group, the final outcome idea has always been better than the original idea. Right. I'll say almost always, right? Like, I don't even have specific instances where that's not been true, but I'm sure at some point. But so what I try to do. So then the thing is too, if you think about it too much and if you flesh out too many of the details, you think you got it all figured out, then when you go to kind of discuss it and brainstorm it, it's more of like a pitch than it is a brainstorming session. And then you can get butthurt if people don't agree with you, because you think you've got it all figured out. And like, this is the way it's going to work because you spent so much time and gone into it and, like, you know, consider all these options. So now once I have an idea that I'm like, oh, this is good. Like, something like this is going to be really good. I think this is a great idea. And spend a little bit of time and come up with some details and ideas. Okay, well, if then type of stuff. But I really try not to dive in too much on that, because I don't want to get too connected to this idea, which in reality may not be the best idea. There might be another version of this, which is actually way better. Yeah. The simple fact is that, you know, four people with the same end goal in mind and one possible action to get there are going to come up with a group idea than the individual, right? And also you can bounce ideas off each other and brainstorm and talk about it. So now that's kind of how it goes. Like, I have an idea. I'm like, oh shit, we should do something like this. I'm like, oh, what does that look like? And I kind of start going on that path a little bit. And I'm like, all right, boom, there it is. And that's all I got. I'm going to write that stuff down. And that's going to be the jumping off point instead of the finalized idea. And then I'll take it to the team and in a meeting say, all right, hey, by the way, this is something we want to do. This was, I thought of this. This was like my idea of a, like for a solution. Like, what do we think? What do you guys think? Like, what's, do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? Do you think whatever? Like, what are your questions? What, you know, like, what's up? Yeah. And then sometimes they'll start asking questions. Well, how would that work? Well, what about this? Well, what do you think these people, whatever? And then I can just answer based on the things that I have worked out, but I haven't gone so far down that path to where there's, it's the, it appears to be the only way. Mm. Right.
I love that. That's such a great perspective. Like you said, not to flesh it out and have all the answers at first, because you're so bought into them. So mm-hmm. then you're no longer open to,
you're like flexible and open, right? You start getting, yeah. You know, the more you flesh out and the further down that one path you go, the less likely you're going to be to believe that any other path could work. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, so many nuggets. Well, we have to take our second commercial break and we are coming back and talking more about, we'll be right back.
Yep. Sounds good.
Have you considered artificial turf? It's great for areas with high precipitation, which means no mud after a heavy rain and no more mowing wet grass. Today's artificial turf is made using recycled materials and helps to reduce water consumption in areas of drought. Turf Envy's artificial turf is constructed of quality raw materials, safe for pets, humans, and our environment. With decades of experience, our staff can help with support, training, and product education to give you confidence when estimating a project for a potential customer. Learn more at turfnvusa.com today.
You're listening to Turfs Up Radio, the only radio station of its kind dedicated to the green industry. Turfs Up Radio, your industry, your station.
Hey everybody, Wayne Vohs, The Prophet, your host of Prophet Time here on Turfs Up Radio. If you listen to my show, you know I'm all about profit. As an industry, profit is something we fail to meet most of the time. If you're working hard but not seeing the results that you deserve, Profits Unlimited is here to help. We offer processes and systems designed specifically to make your company more successful, more profitable, and certainly more efficient. When you're ready to take your company to the next level, reach out to me at profitsareus.com. That's profitsareus.com. And don't forget to turn into Profit Time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m.
Are you a military family with a spouse on deployment away from home? Did you know that nonprofit Project Evergreen has thousands of volunteers across the country ready to help military families with lawn, landscape, and snow removal services? We call it Green Care and Snow Care for troops. If you are a military family and would like to receive this free service, or if you'd like to volunteer to help, visit projectevergreen.org. Project Evergreen, creating a greener, healthier, cooler earth, one yard at a time.
Busy work burning you out? Kick it to the curb and do more of what you love. How? With Landscape Management Network, to spend less time creating estimates, tracking crews, doing job costing, managing invoices and payroll, and more. FYI, the average LMN contractor spends 50% less time doing payroll, increases profits, and lands more jobs. Put an end to burnout. Visit GoLMN.com/TurfsUp. That's GoLMN.com/TurfsUp to get started.
And we're back. Have a couple people chiming in saying hello. I look to see who this was. This is Drew. Thanks for saying hello, Drew.
Oh, what's up, Drew?
And JC.
Oh, there we go. All our friends.
All our friends. All our friends that we get to be with in a couple weeks. So will you be in Nashville in a couple weeks?
I have not yet like purchased any travel plans. Normally I skip the fourth quarter one just because the way my life works, and with, you know, I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old for kids. And anyway, so I try to not do a lot of travel in Q4 just because holiday stuff and things going on. Yeah. But that instead of being in early December, it's in late October this year. So it might actually kind of work, right? But I need to figure that out with the next few days because it's in like 20 days, right?
I'm same boat, same. I it's like snuck up. Like, how is the huge really that far ago?
Yeah, I know. That's the catch.
But yeah,
that was thing too, is I was just out there for, you know, normally I'm just out for like a couple days, but I was out there the whole week. And so I think that, that also is part of my, anyway, I don't know. I'm like, it's right now, it's completely 50-50.
Well, we'll maybe see you there. I haven't traveled either.
There we go. And, you know, to make it relevant to people listening, it all comes back to figuring out, you know, talk about like work life balance and family situations and all that, right? Like, yes. I definitely, it's good for me to go. It benefits me in lots of different ways. But, you know, also I got these kids at home and stuff, right? And holidays are a very real thing that I need to be aware of.
Yeah, it is. It's balancing, which is the right decision in every decision we make. Yeah. Well, we are almost out of time, but I got to get to caffeine and kilos. And that was fascinating, you know, this story of kicking it off. And just tell us a little bit more about that. The gym is, I think, something a lot of us can relate to, like, gym, CrossFit, and how you got into that. But coffee and merch and all that you've like grown so incredibly over the last 10 years. Tell us a little bit about that and like what's coming ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was competing in weightlifting, at that time, in Olympic style weightlifting at a relatively high level, like national level type thing. And so through that, and I was on this team that was great, best team in the nation. I always had teammates that were going to compete at world championships and setting American records and that type of stuff. And so in that network and kind of tied in there, you know, there's only so many people who are competing at national championships and who are flying around the country to do these weightlifting meets. So you kind of get to know everybody a little bit because it's the same cast of characters, you know, at these like two national meets every year. So when a friend of mine, and I won't even say a friend, he was just a guy that a different gym owner that I knew that I'd seen at some different weightlifting meets, didn't really know him that well. He just called me out of the blue. And he didn't even have, I think he had to call someone else to get my number type of a thing. And he's like, hey, what's up? Yeah, so I want to do this thing. I want to host this weightlifting meet. And you know, this is my idea. And so I said, okay, well, let's kind of figure this out. What does it actually look like? And okay, we can definitely get some of the best lifters in the country out. And it was just this idea for an event. And then a day or two later, he posted a picture on Facebook that was a t-shirt and it just said my life. And it had a cup of coffee and a guy lifting weights. And he said, hey, man, like, basically, he said, hey, everyone I know that works out drinks coffee. So I'm going to make one of these for myself. Who else wants one? And there's this like overwhelming response. He had like 100 people or more reply to it or like comment on his post. Like, oh, yeah, if you're making them, make me one. And he's like, oh, shit. Apparently, we like struck a chord here, found something here. And then we kind of realized that that idea and the event idea were the same idea. Right. And so then that's when we decided, okay, well, it's not just going to be this. We didn't really have a name for the event yet. So it's going to be the Caffeine and Kilos Invitational. And we'll make some shirts for the event and we'll make some coffee. And then he had a friend who was actually making my business partner, Dean, who he was making like custom jean jackets at the time, had this kind of underground street brand. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to talk to Dean about this. I bet he'll have some good ideas for like what the design should be. And he did. He loved it. He was all in on the idea. And so anyway, so then the three of us partnered up and kind of used that event to launch the brand. And so that was kind of how, so that was a little more in depth on how the whole event started and went off. Mm-hmm. And something else I'll add with this too is, you know, the idea of like starting something new and scary things. And I don't know. It's funny. I don't think of these things as so risky. It's because I feel like they're obvious, you know, and one thing that happened with that, we start talking about the event. I said, okay, well, if we're going to do this, let's go find venues. And so we went to look at this venue and it was like, okay, here we go. And for the 1 day rental on this or 2 days for like the setup and the event, you know, it's gonna be like $7,000. And we're like, well, this is the spot. This is like definitely where it needs to be. And like, we didn't know, you know, whatever. And the date available was like 10 weeks out. I said, okay, that's a little tight, but we can do it. That's enough time if we like start today, right? But like, but we have to have a venue before we pick a date. Anyway, this whole thing, you know, it's like this catch 22 is like you want to pick a date that's far enough out, but you need a venue and you can't announce the date until you have the venue and you can't have the, you know, it's anyway. So, all right, well, let's that date can work. And so then I just took out a credit card and paid the $7,000 deposit on the location. and did not discuss this with my wife or anything. But I didn't see it as risky. Like, it didn't feel like a risk because I knew, like, I can do basic math. And so you're okay. Well, like, I have a gym. This is a guy who owns a gym as well. Okay, if we're going to do a CrossFit competition during the day, we're going to do teams of four. So it's going to be $400 per team, we'll say, or $300 per team. You know, okay, well, to get to $7,000, you know, if we only get, you know, 25 teams, you know, we're going to make that $7,000 back. Like, that's going to pay for the venue. And 25 teams, that's, you know, I bet we can get at least five from my gym and we get five from Charlie's. And I mean, that's half the teams we need. And then, you know, I'm friends with the owner of every gym in town because now, you know, I've been owning Excel for, you know, it'd been 5 years at this point. And so you kind of know all the people around.
Yeah.
A lot of the other local gyms are maybe people who used to go to our gym and left to open their own because they liked what we were doing and stuff. It's always been like friendly relationships. So I was totally confident that between his relationships with other gym owners and my relationships and whatever, like, we'll totally get 25 teams. Like, that's gonna be like no problem. Like, it's a, you know, it's not, so it didn't feel like a risk because I was totally convinced that we'd be able to get enough teams to pay for this venue. So it wasn't like I was like putting down this money in this credit card and like saddling my family with debt. It was the opposite. I'm like, oh yeah, this, I'm going to get this back in 10 weeks or as soon as the team sign up, like I'm going to get this back in within 4 weeks, probably. Right. Like I'll be able to just like pay this off before it even like hits the statement. And it totally worked out. Like we sold out the teams. We got whatever it was, 40 or 48 or something like that. Teams that first year completely sold out. And then we got sponsors to pay the cash prizes for the weightlifting meet. So that covered that. And then we, you know, monetized it in other ways and then kind of use all of the funds from that after we paid off that credit card, use the funds from that to buy more apparel and launch the online store. And it was really turned into like a launch party for the brand. And so, you know, it's one of those things where people are scared to start or scared to do something. Yeah. But, you know, really the best way to do something that you want to do is just to start, right? You just start and you figure it out as you go. And one thing that really helps if you want to get something started and you want to commit yourself to something is, you know, lay some cash on the line, right? Commit to it in a way that not being successful is going to hurt. And, you know, the same is true. Someone wants to lose weight, you know, the best thing to do is hire a coach. And hire an expensive one because if you're paying a lot of money for something, you're going to go. Like, you're not going to skip a session. You may not want to go that day, but if you know that like you're paying $100 for that next hour and you're going to pay that if you're there or not, you're going to be there.
Absolutely. Right? Oh, I love that you said that it just seemed obvious, that it didn't feel like a risk, that it seemed obvious. And yeah, that's just a mindset. Like, I can do simple math. This is going to work. And I believe in myself enough that I know I can make it work.
Right.
So I love that statement. So
same thing with the, go for it.
Yeah. So one of many takeaways. Yeah. So
I'll say same thing with like the, you know, like now I'm working on this book with your boy, yes! Eric. Anyway, it's very similar, same thing. Like, you're starting off, you want to do this course, like it's a chunk of money for the to get started in the you know, with the tuition. But two things. One is, well, if I'm going to pay that, I'm definitely going to do this. Like, there is zero question that come March of 24 I will be launching this book because I'm not paying that much money now to not follow through on that, right? And then the second thing is that, you know, I'm also confident that like, oh, well, when I launch in March, I only have to sell X amount of books or X amount of launch tickets to not just cover the publishing fee, but also cover the tuition. Like that's, oh, I just have to sell an extra, you know, whatever it is. I only have to sell an extra 100 tickets. If I sell an extra 100 tickets, that's going to cover the tuition. Oh, like no brainer. I'll totally be able to do that. Right. And so kind of the same thing, it's you put yourself in position to where you have to follow through and to where you, are going to do what it takes to follow through because otherwise it's going to sting. Right. And how much money that is varies per person. It's going to be different for everybody, But I think that's a that's an important thing, man. You wanna get something done, you just gotta put your money where your mouth is, right? And lay it on the line and kind of force that commitment yourself.
I love it. Well, we are excited. Yeah, Danny will be publishing a book in March 2024. So we're excited to celebrate that.
In your next hour.
I cannot believe how fast time has gone. We're going to have to get you back on here and talk more about caffeine and kilos and the journey as well. But as we end our episode each week, the challenge to the audience is growth happens outside your comfort zone. And we all know that. So a challenge of one thing that you are committed to get uncomfortable. Audience, if you're listening, comment, listening on playback, send me a message. I'd love to cheer you on to that. And Danny, I'm going to let you go first. What is one thing you're going to do this week to get uncomfortable?
You know what I'm going to do this week to get uncomfortable is I just mentioned that, you know, I'm writing this book. Mm-hmm. And I have an email list that I send a weekly email to about it. In that email, I'm going to ask everyone in there to refer someone else to sign up for the email list. Because I haven't done that because it was mostly, I've had this list for a long time and I've sent different things to it, but I've never directly asked for referrals from it because a lot of the people that are on it, I know personally. And anyway, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to be more proactive and asking directly for referrals. Is that lame?
I love that one. No, that's a great one. And so I think I'm going to steal that because I have a hard time asking for that. That's a great idea. Yeah. Now, I mean, I was so enthralled in that one. I don't even know what I was going to say about uncomfortable before, but I am going to do that as well. My one was a little similar to that now. I say, I'm bad at asking for reviews and stuff too. Like the people that I really know, like, you know, they're in your circle. I don't know why I have a hard time asking people for things or help.
Also it's like asking people to like asking for the sale on things. I feel like with friends and family, not me included, but other people as well, tend to be more hesitant to directly ask for the sale from the people closest to you. Whereas, you know that they want to, but they're just like everybody else and they're just hesitant for whatever reason. And you not asking them is actually you're enabling their complacency. And so it's actually kind of fucked up to not ask for directly for a sale or not ask directly for a referral. And so that's what I got to keep in mind is that by not directly asking for the sale or by not directly asking for the referral, I'm actually harming them.
That's a good mentality. And I'm going to steal yours and we can hold each other accountable.
You don't have to steal it. You can have it.
Okay. Thank you. On me. Well, thank you so much everyone for tuning in, whether you're joining us on Turfs Up Radio or on Facebook. We are glad you're here. Every Wednesday at 1 o'clock Eastern, join us and don't forget to share, like, and subscribe. Thanks so much again, Danny. Everyone have a great week.
Thanks, Angela.